friend named Lisa, who's a graduate of this seminary, who now works in a hospital. And she tells a story about a patient she met one day who prayed every day at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. He'd been doing it for years, and every day he felt palpable because of God's presence. As he approached that, his mind began to fade, and he needed the hospital staff and visitors to tell him when it was 1 o'clock so that he could pray his beloved prayer. And when Lisa would enter his room, he would ask her, and regardless of the time, her response was always, "It is 1 o'clock. And even if it weren't, you can still pray. And he would still come." Once when she entered the room, the man announced to her that he was going to die that day. His poor Lisa, than usual, seemed cheerful, and even asked her to clean up the room and make sure that he looked nice so that he would be ready. And at 1 o'clock that day, Lisa's words, "God welcomes you into the eternal world with his presence." 1 in the afternoon is the same time that a healing took place in today's gospel reading. A royal official, a man who had worked in Herod's court, perhaps a Jew, perhaps a Gentile, asks Jesus to come down and heal his child, who is also approaching death. He has to ask him to come down because the Capernaum was and is 700 feet below sea level. And after the man pleads for his son to be saved, Jesus says to him, "Go, the son will live." The man believes the words that Jesus spoke and steps on his way, and as he is going down, his slaves meet him and tell him that his child is alive. Same time of day. For a man whose young child was near death, there was an hour when life was restored. For an older man in the hospital, it was the hour when eternal life began. Both called on the Lord to come down, and both received the life-giving word of God. Throughout Advent, we prayed for Christ to come down. Christmas time, we celebrated the coming down of the Son of God. And this Sunday, we will celebrate the manifestation of Jesus' divinity at his baptism, where after Jesus went into the water, the Holy Spirit came down upon him, and the Father looked down from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son." We call and we now call for the Son of God. And now we testify that God has indeed descended and entered into our flesh, dying out of death, so that we can be raised to him. And that same Son of God says, "If anyone will become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their lives, lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel." Also says, "Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted." I wonder if this means that for us to share in Christ's life, we also have to learn to come down. The royal official in John's gospel was used to have a degree of power. He was a high-powered government worker, subject to Herod, but still exercising authority on his behalf. He had enough privilege that he had slaves of his own. And now he faced a situation in which he was powerless. His child was dying. So he comes to Jesus and begs, one accustomed to giving orders. Jesus' first response speaks past the man's request. "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." for you is plural. Maybe a threat to not of humanity itself or of itself, man alone, but perhaps the others listening and watching. When I see people, you Galileans, you Jews, you Gentiles, who are called to be God's people, all of us are God's people. When I see some signs of wonder, will we believe? But the man persisted. Come down and heal my own boy. And Jesus responds, go, your son will live. Jesus doesn't even have to go down, and a wondrous sign is performed. Is it the healing from a distance, or a powerful official humbling himself enough to confess his powerlessness? Says that God casts down the crowd with his grace to him. Mary says that he has brought down the powerful kingdom of God to lift it up from him. Grace given to him, the lowly lifted up. This is what happens when the God who comes down invites us to come down with him. We worship a God whose foolishness is wiser than human wisdom and whose weakness is stronger. Chooses what is foolish in the world to shame the wise, and what is weak to shame the strong. And his inexpressibly beautiful power, the power that can accomplish more than you can ask for or imagine, in weakness, in our consciousness. So I think again of the man in the hospital, praying every day at 1 o'clock that the warmth of God would come and fill his heart. That can be a powerful reminder of so many of our weakness. Where in our weakness do you need Christ to come? Where in our weakness do we long to see God demonstrate power on behalf of others? The royal official on our gospel reading is an intercessor. Recognizing his powerlessness to heal the child, he pleaded with the only one who could. So when we see sickness and sin and death in this world, when it displeases us that there is no justice, how persistently do we cry out for the Lord to come to? John tells us that when the royal official realized that his son had been healed at 1 o'clock, the hour when Jesus said, go, your son will live, the official himself believed, along with his old gospel. A wondrous sign did indeed lead to an increase of faith. But would he have seen the sign? Would his faith have increased if he had not first been and expressed it? A lot of us live lives filled with temporary assents and temporary dissents. But Jesus has enabled us to share in his ultimate assent by the grace of his deepest consent. Christ came down